Based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Based on a True Scary. We're back. We messed up again, and we didn't record an episode for a while. I blame Jake because Jake had a fabulous vacation.
It wasn't even vacation, but you know what? It basically became vacation. It was a work vacation. Okay. They paid for me to go film in Hawaii. So I said yes.
Yeah.
So I'm not apologizing for it. You know,
I think anytime you leave your house these days, it's considered a vacation, let alone going to Hawaii. So yeah. I was jealous regardless, but we're back and we have an amazing guest today. He is an art director at Bombas. He moonlights as DJ Les Go and is the founder of Vonov. Leslie, how do I say this?
Vonov Artist Collective.
Perfect.
We're at DJ Collective in New York City.
Amazing. Welcome, Leslie Hansen. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing fantastic. You know, I think the namesake of the movie was accurate for how I feel about it, which we'll get to later.
Oh, but, you took my joke away from me. I accept it.
No. Sorry. But honestly, I think we can all riff on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So the Disappointments Room is the film, and holy shit. I don't want to like get too into it before I go through the details, but there will be some shit talking because yes, it was, as Leslie said, well, go ahead, Jake.
Well, I was just saying, like after watching it, I was like, let's just say I was disappointed, but here all night. But I am interested to see if this, like, what the hell is true about it?
I mean,
yeah,
These are the moments I'm glad you do all the research and I don't.
me too. But here's there was a specific reason why I was disappointed. I was, when I was looking at the synopsis of it, it said that they were moving to a house in Brooklyn. So I thought, you know, this is going to be like a Tales from the Hood or like,
right.
Candyman, like kind of movie or something. And then it's like Kate Beckinsale and like a kid with a bowl cut and
Oh God. And I will say, Leslie, I think I'm fully to blame, unless I swear to God, Google also said that they moved. I've never heard of this
like
movie before ever. I did not know it existed, which is crazy because Kate Beckinsale is in it. And so when I gave Leslie some film options, him being from Brooklyn and me and him knowing each other in my Brooklyn days, I thought this would be a great choice. And then immediately started the movie and texted him, was like, oh shit, it is not in Brooklyn. But
I already watched it. I didn't procrastinate on something for once and actually like watched the movie immediately this time. And
well, here we are. I am sorry. So I'll just run through the details real quick. So this movie came out in 2016. It was directed by DJ Caruso. This dude did some things. He did that Disturbia movie, which is like the Rear Window ripoff with Shia LaBeouf. You guys saw that one?
I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. That was better than this.
I looked him up too, and that was like the, I was like, okay, that's the only decent movie I think like on his on his list.
Agreed. No need to go further. I thought this was super interesting. The movie was written by DJ Caruso and Wentworth Miller, who is like, as in the actor Wentworth Miller, the guy from Prison Break. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That. Yes. That's honestly shocking.
He also wrote the movie Stoker, the one with Nicole Kidman, which is pretty good. So I guess they were like, okay, we're going to give this guy another shot. And well, it was fucking terrible. We'll get into it. Budget was $15 million. It grossed $5.7 million at the box office. So was not a success. And then as far as reviews, guys, this is a based on a true scary first. Rotten Tomatoes critic score is 0%. Audience is 17, which is, I mean, I'm honestly shocked. Metacritic 31. It's rated R. I have no idea why, because there's no reason for it to be rated R. An hour and 26 minutes, thank God. And then the truth claim for this one. So the trailer and some of the marketing said based on true events, but like the poster and the movie did not mention it whatsoever. Probably because they had to they were like, we can't waste any of this 86 minutes.
So yeah. Yeah.
Can't even put a screen
at least that's the one thing the movie had going for it. It was short. It was nice and short.
Oh God. And like rushed. Oh, the pacing was a nightmare. Oh God. It was so fucking bad. But real quick, for those of our listeners who did not see the movie, so I'm going to give my like shitty synopsis. But the movie is basically about a family that moves from Brooklyn to a mansion in North Carolina where they find a secret room in the attic. The mom starts seeing ghosts, finds out the family who used to own the house locked their deformed daughter in that creepy room and then seemingly maybe murdered her. So the family decides to move back to Brooklyn. I think that kind of covers it.
Yeah, right? That's pretty good.
That's it. So, Jake, Leslie, thoughts on the disappointments room?
Wow. Well, I think the main thing, and not to make this joke, which we're all going to make, but once you find out what the disappointment room was, you're pretty disappointed. That was ridiculous.
I don't even know if we can continue with the podcast. Yeah, this might have to be our last episode.
Is there an appointments room also then?
The movie started and I immediately hated the kid. Bowl cut, is that what you call them, Leslie?
Yep, yeah.
Just bowl cut. Yeah.
Right out the gate, I was like,
I hated it that the dad and husband right away too. Like, I mean, I haven't been to New York much, but that accent feels like it was very, very forced.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He felt like he's probably some like French or something actor.
Yeah.
Guessing here, but definitely like some kind of European just guy who looked just like a dork, you know?
Yep.
I think Leslie called him a wiener earlier and I called him a goober.
I definitely thought he was going to die though. I was like, this guy is definitely going to get killed because he just looks, you know, like one of those killable guys.
He also was like way too positive, like in the beginning, just everything was like, let's see. He was like walking through the local town and he was just like, oh, look, a general barbershop. Nice. Oh, look, a gun shop. We can shoot watermelons. It's like, what are we doing here? Who is he trying to like convince?
Apparently his wife who was losing her mind, which I don't know. I thought the whole interaction with them when they met the like clerk or the store owner too, where she was so surprised that Kate Beckinsale was an architect.
Yeah, like, she was like, she was really offended. She definitely like I don't know if offended is the right word, but she was definitely like put off by the whole idea. I don't understand why. Like,
it was some good women on women sexism. Women tearing each other down. You know what? I did find that part funny too, though, because they like Kate Beckinsale like hated the country, hates the whole idea of moving everything the entire time. Then they throw in this bullshit twist for this like joke here to make it like that she's the architect and it was like, why would it be her project if she hated the entire thing the entire time, you know?
Right.
Also, I think that Kate Beckinsale's character did not understand, Dana was her name, right? Dana did not understand that architects and like handymen are different because she's like really, really pissed that this teenage dude that apparently they wanted to fuck each other, by the way.
Yeah, all with of the my cigarette notes sharing.
All of my notes are Dana and Ben going to fuck? ? That's just all I have written down. But yeah, she was super offended that like people wanted to help her fix this beautiful broken mansion. That's not what an architect does, unless I don't understand what an architect does, but I would assume that they don't fix leaks on a daily basis.
Very true. What exactly did she architect in there? You're right. I didn't really see any architecting.
She knew how to read a map. You know?
That is true.
Yeah.
She knew that the spooky room was not on the floor plan. Yeah.
By the way, I meant blueprint.
There you go.
Yeah.
What else as a writer, did not notice the difference. Oh my gosh!
I agree. The hot guy. I was. The hot guy was one of my disappointments. I wanted to see the hot guy hook up with her.
Right. Or maybe like a dream hookup or something. Like.
Yeah. Yes. Or she kills him or something.
Yes.
No.
I think I just wanted anything to happen. Truly, nothing happens in this movie.
Yes. Yes. Nothing. I mean, like the jump scares alone are just so bad. Like they're so predictable.
It wasn't insanely boring. And I noticed a lot of like they try to make the husband look creepy in a shot here. They try to make the kid look creepy here. You know, they like try little are they, aren't they thing going on, but it was just so formulaic and really didn't work.
Yeah, it was. I kept just thinking like the story is so paint by numbers, but it somehow managed to be done so terribly that like it wasn't even enjoyable.
Right.
I don't know. It was impressive.
It was just boring. Like it was, you know, a like technically competently made movie, but the script was just, I'm just surprised it even got greenlighted.
Yep. No, it is fair.
That Wentworth Miller, you know, he's got that pull in Hollywood, you know.
Prison break money right there, you know.
Let alone one episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season one, baby.
Oh, wow.
The episode is Go Fish. He plays a member of the swim team who's a jerk and gets turned into a fish demon. Highly recommend it. It is a much more entertaining, like, hour than this movie in general. Let's see. I feel like we have to somewhat talk about the plot here.
Well, there's a where she, I like when she gets, I don't fully understand the moment where they try to, like, the big reveal is the, like, the kite. Remember, there's a drawing, there's like the engraving of the kite. And then and like 10 minutes later, it finally connects. And I'm like, this is really weird. It's like a photo, right?
So she, yeah, from my understanding, it's like she finds this engraved stone, which is a gravestone, right? Yeah. I did not know that at first. That has a kite on
Do
it.
That.
That's what that was. Because that's then what she tells Ben to go dig up later. And he finds the remains of the daughter. So ultimately, Dana. Oh, by the way, the husband's name is David too. Dana and David. That was super great and very confusing. Just good job, guys. Come on. Dana starts like seeing ghosts. She sees ghost dog. That's the other thing too. The ghost dog was adorable. The ghost German Shepherd wasn't scary.
Yeah. When she snapped its neck too, I felt, I was like, one, there's no way she could actually do that. And two, I felt a little bad for the dog.
Well, she didn't do it. She basically, the whole reveal is like, she sees this old man and this woman who are haunting the house, who are the previous owners. And then she learns that they've locked their deformed daughter up in this disappointments room, who she also kind of sees sometimes. And then he had a dog. And then
she gets all like crazy, like action movie. And she starts like taking the portraits off the wall and ripping them apart. Is that what happened?
She did. And actually, I was wondering if that scene was an homage to the scene in Office Space where they smashed the printer up, because it had like,
like
struck the match and stuff. It was like so overly dramatic. I was like, I bet this has got to be an Office Space joke that the editor just like put in there.
Well, and meanwhile, there's like a family dinner going on or something.
Yeah.
That was, speaking of
the editor just saw Parasite too. He was like, so excited to edit a family dinner in there.
You mentioned homages, Leslie. Did you guys notice? So there's like a scene where Lucas, the little boy, is running around the house. And he, I guess they try to let us believe that he maybe sees the ghosts this one time. But he runs down the hall and he turns down the hall. And then he sees the little dead ghost girl in her little dress standing there. And it was a straight up ripoff of like The Shining when Danny goes around the corner. Like they might as well just put him on a tricycle. But then that scene was super confusing, because the whole twist at the end of the movie is that this is all happening in her mind. Like the ghosts aren't real. She like thinks that she sees a ghost murder the handyman that she wants to fuck, but it turns out that never happened. And like, she's just sad because she accidentally slept on top of her other child and killed it. That's the story, I guess.
Wait, so that's the one thing I did miss. So I might have been doing something else while I was watching this movie. But if I'm being honest, I saw him get killed. And then I saw that whole scene, but I never saw again. Is he alive still?
They don't say, right? They do not confirm.
Okay.
It is the weirdest scene flash matchup. It's like you said, they're throwing a dinner party to try to make Dana feel better. And then it's juxtaposed with scenes of this handyman, Ben, digging up a body, getting murdered by ghosts. And then like the ghosts trying to attack Dana and the son, and then Dana killing the ghosts.
Yeah.
And then you realize it's all fake. This happens in the span of 2 minutes and nothing else has happened in the movie.
I think also they were cutting to the like old woman, like flipping through like newspaper clippings.
Yes.
I think they were cutting into that also.
The historian woman, like she appeared, was realizing. Like,
yeah.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah. Dana goes to a historian and that's how she finds out that the room, like these disappointments rooms, housed a child. And she's just like, oh, the ghosts I'm seeing must be that. Ghosts were not scary. They didn't even have makeup on them. Like they were truly just actors, except yeah. the little girl who was deformed.
Yeah. But like they weren't even like, there was no tricks or anything to make them seem like ghosts. It's just, yep, here we are.
Yeah. Like throw a dark eye on them. Yeah. Get him a little, like, take off some rouge.
Rose, you know? Like, how they died or something, right? Like, I've been watching American Horror Story. Yes, 10 seasons late. But I just started it. And, yeah, all those dead people, they have, like, the bullet wounds on them and stuff like that. Like, I don't know.
Watch a horror movie. This is what we want from you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was really bad. Trying to think of what else I want to talk about here.
Well, just what happened?
I don't like, know.
Did she imagine this? Did she not? Did she imagine half of it?
I think we're supposed to believe, because she stops taking her medication. We yeah. somehow through the course of the movie find out that like she's being medicated because they had a baby that died. And she just decides she wants to stop taking it. And that's, I think, when like the visions.
Wait, happen. Are we supposed to believe that she forgot she killed her baby? Is that like that what the whole reveal is? Is like all of a sudden she's like, oh, I killed my baby. This is why I'm going crazy.
I think so. Yeah. I want to yeah. say, yeah, that was like, yes, the reveal.
Yet again, I feel like this is just some sexist bullshit.
Honestly, it's my biggest fear of having a baby. I fall asleep all the time. I can see myself rolling on a baby and that's it.
Well, you would do that. They say women are like programmed to not do it, but I don't know. I love sleep. So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Also not my number one fear of having a baby, killing it. It's more just like the fact that I have to deal with a baby, I think is the fear yeah. there.
Yeah. Which option sounds more painful?
Yeah, dealing with the baby like forever.
So we're all saying that there's a quick solve. Just say yeah. you rolled over. This I'm is not the first saying, time we talked about baby killing.
I was just saying, I feel like we did a disclaimer. We are not pro baby killing.
Not I'm just pro baby killing. Just saying there's a loophole.
It's just something yep. that you could explore, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
No. Yeah. I don't even know. Also, Ben was not cute. I was super excited for the reveal of Ben because the like original lady in the beginning who's like, oh, I have a really good looking handyman that I can set you up with. He's very easy on the eyes.
You know who he is?
Who is he?
Oh. He plays MacGyver in the new MacGyver TV show.
So weird. He's like a child.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he was like the creepy. He reminded me of the Captain America, the like creepy Captain America in.
Oh no, you know who that is? That is Kurt Russell's son.
Oh, yeah. Wyatt Russell, I believe yep. his name yep. is.
Yeah, who's like actually him. A really like does not. You're right. They made him look creepy in that show. I don't know how, but they did. Maybe age.
Oh, Jake, I did think of you at one part when Dana goes to the historian and she's like talking about how she'd seen Poltergeist one too many times because she believes that like the spirits of the dead people who died in the disappointments room can probably haunt houses. And then she says, but I don't know, people say I'm full of shit and whiskey. I think that was the only good part of the movie. And I feel like I need to say that to Jake all the time now. I never heard that expression before.
No, yeah. I'm going to start using that about myself, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can say I'm full of shit and gin.
Shit and gin.
Leslie, what are you full of? Shit and fill in the blank.
LaCroix currently.
Oh, PG.
No.
Wait, okay. Weed. Speaking of weed, there you go. That's the answer we were looking for. Wait, speaking of ratings, please, why was this movie rated R?
Oh, was yeah.
Was there anything in it that was bad? I'm trying to think back. There was no sex. Dana and Ben never fucked.
That last scene where he was really bashing the head in, that was kind of, was a little.
Yeah, that was like the only thing really, yeah, that would qualify it for sure.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't care and they were just like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, Dana bashing in the ghost head of Ghost Guy. That looked cool because he didn't look like a ghost. So it just kind of looked like she was murdering him. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, dude, the end of this movie also happened, I feel like, so quickly.
We were
gearing up for a dinner party, massive flash scene. We find out Dana killed her baby on accident. And then I think they're just in the car driving away. They didn't even talk about leaving.
Do you not feel like she's saying she like purposely killed the baby? Or does she feel like she killed the baby, but she didn't do it on purpose?
Leslie. Sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, I think she did it by accident. I think, but like blames herself for doing it. That was my interpretation.
Yeah. I think we're supposed to think that like it was her mother's guilt that made her lose her shit.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. One more question. Did anyone else notice that the credits came on and there was about 8 minutes left?
Yes.
Did anyone check if there was an after scene? Because I didn't.
No.
eight minutes of credits?
So that's actually really funny because when I looked up the original runtime of this movie, it said that it was an hour and 32 minutes. And then when I looked at it on Amazon, it said it was an hour and 26 minutes. So I'm wondering if like things were cut and maybe there was an end credit scene or something. We'll have to go back and watch. Listeners, let us know. Did you watch all of the credits?
Because we didn't.
Because I immediately turned it off and ate a weed gummy and started watching Mayor of Easttown in order to cleanse my palate. Oh, this one was so bad. I'm so sorry, Leslie. I don't
know. Well, I mean, he technically picked it, so, you know.
It's true.
I did.
Yeah. He was misinformed.
I was misinformed.
Yeah, you were tricked.
Yes, actually, that's what I want to go with. I want to go with I was tricked by Trisha. So,
I have a question. As I know, I'm a tricky one. Okay, question for you guys. So, do you think that this travesty of a movie is what caused Kate Beckinsale to like lose her mind and date Pete Davidson?
Wow, I forgot about that.
I forgot about that too. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I was completely jealous, but
I think Pete Davidson just gets around, you know? I think he's just the kind of guy that just gets around.
I think he's funnier than people give him credit for, you know, because I mean, it's not his looks. Could say that much.
I don't know. He seems like he's just difficult. I don't know.
Yes.
I
think he admits he's very difficult.
Yeah. Kate's been making some bad choices.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they were dating when he was still living in his mom's basement. So.
Right.
Which for some reason he made like seemed okay, which I give him respect for.
Close to his mom, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
Are we gonna do the down and dirty now?
Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about in this movie? I mean, nothing happened. I'm going through my notes and it's basically just me trying to keep
I had a whole thing about the cat, but I don't have to go down that path.
Oh yeah, the cat was cute. Well, I was just so confused as to why like we were supposed to be afraid of a cat and a dog right out of the gate. Why were cute animals scary? That's all I had. What was your whole thing about the cat, Jake?
Just more that like once again, it adds to this guy being like way too, like trying to be way too positive and passive. And he was like, she was like, we can't have any cats. We can't have any animals. That's the deal. And this guy's just like, fuck it. Let's call it Rascal. And that's it. It was that simple.
Yeah, she was the stickler and he was the softy.
No.
Okay.
A minute. They say that cats sometimes sleep on newborns and kill them. Do you think that's like why she didn't? No, I'm just kidding, guys. That's not why. I mean, that's the thing they say, but I don't think it's true.
I think cats just try to kill anything, right? Oh, they're so murderous. Okay, so Gentlemen, are we ready for the question and answer portion?
Yeah, I am. I was born ready.
At the edge of my seat.
Okay.
Seat.
Here we go. I'm going to start broad. You guys let me know what you think. So, number one, do you guys think that a family moved into a house with a secret room?
Yes.
Yeah, also going to say yes.
So, like, the whole setup of this movie is basically entirely false.
Oh, God.
What?
I'm gonna explain. There, a secret room exists. I'll say that. So, the movie is based on a couple named Lori and Jeff Dumas. They did not move to a new city and into a new house with a secret room. That is completely made up. Instead, Lori moved into a new home from her apartment, which was around the corner, before she even knew Jeff. And then while she was living in this house, she met Jeff. After they got married a few years later, he moved in and started to look into the attic to see if there was extra storage space for his stuff. And that is when they found a strange walled up room on one side of the attic. Jeff also ended up finding an old child's letter block in a small cupboard that was hidden near the ceiling of the basement. And like those two discoveries combined gave them kind of spooky vibes about this house. But no relocation from another town. They did not move into a house together as a family. And they did not move in with kids, no kids, or to get away from the death of their child. So that whole thing is just like completely bonkers.
Most of the plot in general is false. Okay.
That is correct.
There was a family that moved somewhere and there was a secret room. Gotcha.
There was a house that had a secret room and people eventually ended up moving into it. Yes. Separately. Not a family. There you go. Okay. So 0 points all around, but don't worry, there's more. All right. Question two. It's the tough one. Do you guys think that in real life, this house with a secret room was located in North Carolina, like it is in the film?
Ooh.
I'm going to say no, because you said she just moved around the corner. So I don't know where she moved from, but I'm just going to say no because of that.
I'm going to say yes, only because I feel like North Carolina has close enough proximities of apartments and big creepy houses.
Leslie takes this one. Damn it's false. They did not even get the location correct. So the real house, by the way, was not a massive mansion. It was a smaller colonial style home located in Rhode Island.
Wow.
So very once again, different.
This happens all the time, by the way. Like they like change the weirdest facts. Like, why put them in Brooklyn going to North Carolina? Like,
literally no reason to do that. Also, it's like you could have just had them move to Rhode Island. That makes
I don't know.
I guess they just, well, so the house, by the way, in the movie, because I looked it up, it was so beautiful. That house is actually in North Carolina. So it's called the Adams Lee Mansion. So the director just wanted to do a cool house and wanted to stay real with that. But so that is false. Leslie is winning, although I never keep track. Okay, number three. So in the movie, when Dana discovers the disappointments room, there's like no locks or no doors on the inside. Do you think that the secret creepy room in this house also did not have doors on the inside and only locked from the outside?
I'm going to say yes to that also.
Oh God, I feel like I have to go with no, just because.
Jake, you don't have to be a contrarian.
Oh, I don't have to, but let's see what the answer is.
It is true.
Yeah!
Serves you right, Jake. So, yeah. So the actual room was actually like super creepy. In the movie, just like in the movie, it only had a doorknob on the outside, and then it also had a giant deadbolt lock on the outside. The room, the floor of the room was made of metal, and it had a large drain in the middle of it, which was strange because no other part of the attic had metal floors, obviously. Like, why would you? It did, however, had two windows that were looking out into the rest of the attic, where the movie, it was just like a completely walled up room. And the room was made of wood. So like it was a wooden room. So the walls were wood, not like bricks in the movie, but still super creepy. Like, why do you have a room that only locks on the outside in the attic? Not great.
That is weird. I was going to say maybe a sauna. Maybe they just put a nice sauna in there.
A little Finnish sauna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Okay. Moving on. So in the movie, we see Dana. She goes and visits a local historian to learn more about the house, the one who's full of shit and whiskey. Do you think that in real life, Lori
was went filled to a local with shit and whiskey?
Was filled with shit and whiskey. No, do you think she went to like a local historian in the town to learn more about the house?
I don't see why not.
I'm also going to agree with that. Yes.
It is false. And I'll tell you why not. Oh. She worked at a library. She was a librarian.
Wow.
Not an architect.
Oh, so she did her own research.
So she had her own research. Yeah. She looked into the house and the history at the library. And that's also how she learned about the disappointments rooms, which, by the way, you guys, were actually a real thing back in the day. I don't know if you guys knew this, but affluent families would set up disappointments rooms to hide their children who either they just didn't want in the public eye because they were sick or deformed or whatnot. This was like, I wouldn't say it was common, but it happened. When she found out about this, it caused her to dig more into the original owners, which we will now move into. But yeah, they were a real thing, which I didn't know.
Wow.
When is the last time you guys have gotten a book from a library and like used the Dewey Decimal System to like find a book?
Whoa. When did I graduate high school?
I haven't used a Dewey Decimal System in forever, but I've been to a few libraries. What about you? You seem like someone who would go to a library.
Me? No, yes. I haven't been to a library. Well, I've rented a couple movies from libraries, I guess, a couple
right,
times.
Right, right, yeah. And
honestly, it's been a very long time, yeah. There's one actually like three blocks away from me, though. I should go. I'm afraid if I go, they're going to find some book that I owe them for like
2 right. years. yep.
Because they won't come after you, but if you walk in, they're like, you owe $40,000, and you're like, I'm going to go.
That's how they get you. They're like, come back to the library. It's so friendly, you know.
We can't track you down, but we will charge you if you're on our property. Exactly. All right. Okay. Moving on. Talking about the owners of the house now. So in the film, I guess we didn't really touch on this, but the people who owned the house before were like a very affluent judge. Did they just call him the judge? I don't know. But do you think that in real life, there was an affluent judge that used to own Lori's house?
I mean, no.
I'll say sure.
It's true, Jake. I think you've gotten everyone wrong.
Wow.
I don't know if that means I did like a bad job or a good job on the questions. Okay, so yes.
Me and Wentworth Miller.
You guys are on the same wavelength.
Gotten to the meat of this. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. So Lori learned that the house was built and owned in the late 1800s by a prominent judge named Job Smith Carpenter and his wife, Frances Ellen Carpenter. And they were very well known in the town. Job was super involved in local politics. And as a judge, obviously, that was like very big title back in the day and still is now, I guess. And then even the street on the side of the house, Carpenter Court, was named after the judge himself. So yes, similar to the movie, it was like a super affluent and well-to-do family that owned this house. And Jake, you are wrong yet again.
It feels nice for you, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. I'm really enjoying myself over here. This is the best part for me. Okay, another chance to embarrass yourself, Jake, or redeem yourself. So, $1 million question here, kind of. Did the judge and his wife have a secret daughter?
Well, I mean, you have to if you have a disappointments room.
I would agree with that. Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, you're correct. Yeah. So that this is like, I guess, where the whole movie comes from, right? So turns out, after looking through the cemetery database at the library, Lori found the location of the plot in Woodland Cemetery where Judge Carpenter and his wife were buried. And so she decided to just go check out the gravestones. And on the side of the judge's gravestone was a daughter's name, Ruth, with the dates 1895 to 1900, so 5 years, with the inscription Daughter of Job and Francis Carpenter under it. So Lori's like, oh my gosh, they had this 5-year-old daughter who died at age of 5. She scoured old newspapers for more information about the judge and the daughter because she didn't notice anything about them having a daughter when she originally looked into the family. And there were tons of articles about Job himself, but literally nothing mentioning the fact that the couple had a daughter, not even a birth announcement, which is just so strange considering like anytime she said, anytime this guy sneezed, there was a story written about him. The only thing that they were able to find was a tiny mention of Ruth's death in 1900 at the age of 5, but it was strange because it was like buried, not like a big feature story. So given all that evidence and how the judge was super involved with the city, that's how Lori concluded that, yeah, they totally used this disappointments room in the house to keep their daughter, who was either sick or disabled, a secret from the outside world. So yeah. Oh, also, at least the movie got the death age right, because I think the daughter in the movie, they said died when she was 5. So the movie got that right.
That's good.
Yeah.
So it made up the whole thing about the Kate Beckinsale being having mother's guilt. That whole thing was made up.
Well, we can get into that.
Okay.
Although actually, I don't actually have a question on that because they didn't have kids.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to make a question up on the spot, but I was like, no. Yeah. That's completely made up. Lori and, what's her husband's name? Jeff, do not have children. So yeah. But they also didn't kill any of their own kids. Yeah, so that hasn't really been recorded.
That's what they made the story into. Yeah.
Instead of like actually just making it about a creepy, like there was so much potential in this movie. I don't know. Yeah. It's very sad. But okay, two more questions. Jake, you can still redeem yourself. Okay, ready? So, do we think that like Dana in the movie, Lori had any visions or like ghost sightings of the Carpenter family while living in the house?
No.
I'm also going to say no.
Yeah, fucking no.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because ghosts aren't real. Yeah.
Because, well. I mean, yes, but wouldn't it be cool if they were? No ghost dogs, no ghost people, nothing. Also, I do want to point out that Lori did not find any evidence that the judge killed his daughter, because I know in the movie that they try to like say that Dana thinks that the judge killed the daughter, which, by the way, Dana technically doesn't find any evidence of that either.
Oh, right.
She just imagines it, I guess. So I guess technically the movie got that right, too. That's what's so confusing about the movie is it's like they don't really explain if anything that Dana sees in her psychotic breaks was actually the truth, which normally in ghost movies, it's like they uncover more evidence.
So but these guys just read a story about a disappointments room and then just wrote a whole story from it. Like,
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much. Yep. Yep. Big old fat lie. But one more question. Let's see if they got it right. At the end of the movie, Dana and David and Lucas, the little kid, they end up moving back to Brooklyn because they're like, you know, we got to go back. This is too much for Dana. Do you think that in real life, Lori and Jeff left the house because of its creepy past?
I'm not going to go first.
I'll say no.
I mean, I'm going to say no, too, because there's no ghost sightings. It's just a weird-ass room, right?
Yeah, you're both correct. Yeah. So, yeah, Lori and Jeff still live there. And actually, I think this is super creepy. They actually created a shrine to honor Ruth in the disappointments room. So Ruth is the little girl. So they painted it bright colors, and they put dolls and other toys in there as like a way of honoring her very sad memory. Cause this poor like 5-year-old girl was just kept and locked in a room. So now they just have a shrine to a dead 5-year-old that they've never met in their house where they still live. And that is the real story of the disappointments room. Is it as disappointing as the film? I'm getting some nods.
Yeah.
I've never heard.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I expected. You know, because it was so disappointing. But I don't know.
Wait, Jake, You changed my name in the Zoom to Disappointing Host.
No, I don't think I did that. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like me. No.
You're so mean. Leslie, do you want to do a podcast with me?
Sure. I hope I won't disappoint you.
Just cut me out and do like a real sound effects there. Okay. So we've made it to the end. Leslie, now we like to give a rating for how accurately we think that the movie did a job at portraying the real story, 1 through 10 out of 10. Jake, do you want to start us off with this at how this one's like?
I mean, it's easy. It's just, what's the rating on Rotten Tomatoes?
It is a 0%.
That's 0.
You're going to give it a 0?
Yeah.
I think it's better than a 0. Like, there was a room about.
This is why you're disappointing.
I'm gonna give it a 1. I'm gonna give it a 1. 1 out of 10. There was a room. There was a disappointments room. Maybe a 0.5. I don't know. We'll give it a 1.
I was gonna give it a 1 or a 2.
A 2. You know? So generous.
2 does seem generous now after hearing what you guys were rating it.
Don't, Leslie, you do not succumb to peer pressure. You follow your heart, Leslie. God damn it. All right, fine. We'll accept your answer. Okay, Leslie, now that we've come to the end here, you've got a microphone in front of you. Is there anything that you want to promote that you're working on right now that you want our listeners to check out, or just anything cool that you want them to pay attention to?
Sure. I work for Bombas. We make socks, t-shirts, and underwear and donate those to the homeless. They're the number 1, 2, and 3 most requested items at homeless shelters. Check us out at Bombas, BOMBAS.com. DJ project is called Less Go. You can find me on Instagram, LES_GO. And in New York City, if you live in New York City, I'm promoting, organizing DJ events, house music. Our next show is next Friday, July 18th. We've got an all women lineup, actually. Mm-hmm. And that is Vonov Artist Collective, VONOV _artist_collective on Instagram. But if you just type in VONOV, it should come up.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Leslie. This was super fun. Jake, it's always good to see your beautiful face, Jake. And Leslie, it's so nice to see your beautiful face as well. We're going to be doing this more often, listeners, hopefully, now that Jake isn't gallivanting around Hawaii drinking that fucking coconuts.
Yeah, I will be in Chicago for a long time, but I'll bring my mic. So we're good.
Jesus Christ. Okay. If we're not uploading episodes, everyone, it's Jake's fault. You know his Instagram handle. Please harass him. Tell him.
I have to give a shout out to. His Instagram was Brush by Ear. He totally called us out. Said he just wanted a new podcast, and I think that really helped us out.
Oh, yay. Oh, yeah. Brush by Air. Thank you so much for lighting a fire under Jake's fat ass filled with shit and whiskey. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you so much again. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Stay safe. Have a good night. If you're listening to this at night, I don't know. You probably should be. It's spooky. And we'll be back soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, guys. Bye.